This podcast was recorded Thursday, May 17th at 11:36 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like you might be able to place a legal bet on who will be the next Speaker of the Ohio House. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU's weekly look at Ohio politics, and the Snollygosters are ruthless politicians who toil at the statehouse and elsewhere. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, John Kasich gets in trouble over Lake Erie water quality.
But first, legalized gambling. Ohioans may soon actually have a good reason to watch the Browns.
The Steelers have won it 28-24, your final, and football infamy for the 2017 Cleveland Browns.
Not to bet on football infamy, as CBS puts it there, as the Browns finished their 0-16 season last year, but to bet on the spread.
Ohio and every other state, not named Nevada, can legalize sports gambling. That's what the U.S. Supreme Court said this week. Of course, it's already legal in Nevada.
And now the jockeying begins. Some states are chomping at the bit to legalize it and tap into the $150 billion a year industry. New Jersey, which led the case, could take bets within weeks. Pennsylvania and West Virginia seem ready to go as well.
Candidates for governor Mike DeWine and Richard Cordray say they are open to the idea if it's done right, and if the tax money gambling generates is used for things like schools, police departments, and the fight against opioid addiction.
So it looks like sports betting is coming to Ohio. It's not a matter of if, but when. And the big question, where will those bets be cast?
They could be at the four casinos and the seven racinos we already have. They could be in sports bars around the state. That's what Rick Lertzman wants. He's a businessman from Cleveland, a veteran of the casino wars in Ohio. He led the unsuccessful effort to build a big casino in Wilmington in 2008. And Rick Lertzman joins us now on Snollygoster. Welcome, Rick.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Rick, we'll get to your proposal, the specifics of your proposal, in a moment. But let's look at the big picture. How much money are we talking about? Do you have any idea how much money is being bet on sports here in Ohio?
Our estimate is about $3 billion that are bet either illegally or in off-site books that are sometimes in the Caribbean.
So this is going to happen in Ohio, it appears, right? Both the main candidates for governor are on board, and again, just a matter of when.
It's a win-win no matter what, but you cannot leave it up to the legislature. When we put the gaming issue, the amendment in 2009, it took maybe 15 years of fighting among the legislators, and it never occurred. It's something that West Virginia and Pennsylvania have actual legislation ready to go. They expected the Supreme Court decision favorably, and they are ready to go, ready to put it and get it in action. So that means on our west and our border in Pennsylvania and West Virginia, businesses are going to be hurt because there's going to be more betting in those states and money flying out from Ohio into those states. Same with Indiana, and same with other states that are surrounding us. Kentucky's talking about it. So, it's something we have to really act on, and I don't think we can leave it up to the seven racinos or the four casinos. Those are monopolistic facilities. Those are two companies that own the four casinos and just a handful of companies that own the racinos. And, in fact, two of them are owned by Penn and by Dan Gilbert's company.
Yeah. So what would your proposal do? What are you proposing?
Our proposal is to take it out to the mom and pop, to the small restaurant owners, to the sports bars, to the bowling alleys, to the entertainment facilities, to anything with entertainment all throughout the state. Hundreds, maybe even thousands of businesses will be affected.
Sort of a Keno model? Is that a good comparison?
I would say so. It would have to be done through the Ohio Lottery or the Ohio Gaming Commission, but it would allow it become kind of mini sports books where they'd allow horse track betting and they would allow sports betting. So that would be both because that's generally what's done in a sports book. And by doing that, people on Sundays, instead of just going to the seven racetracks or the seven or four casinos, they'll be able to go to the local restaurants and bars and watch the Browns or Ohio State or Cincinnati Bengals. They'd be able to do that and bet in those local facilities. If it goes to only the major ones, it's going to damage a lot of small restaurants and bars and entertainment facilities throughout the state.
Rick, if you wanted to put this on the 2018 November ballot, you could conceivably do that, at least looking at the timeline. You'd have to get some 300,000 valid petition signatures by July. Why not do that? Why are you going for 2019?
It's almost an impossibility. You have to have ballot language. It has to be approved by the Attorney General. And once you have that approved, then and only at that time can you go out and collect petition signatures. So you have to get a crew, and I've done this three times in the state. We've had three ballot issues. And to collect 380,000 signatures by the end of June is almost an impossibility because we're not up and running. Our ballot language is not even near complete. So you have to first create ballot language. So realistically, you cannot put it on the May 2019 primary ballot. So it has to go into a general election in 2019. And we feel the off-year elections are better for this kind of issue. We won in 2009, while we lost in 2008 in a presidential election. So we think it's an excellent year, and it gives us enough time to really properly prepare and create the proper language.
There is a provision in that 2009 casino amendment that would allow the four main casinos to offer sports betting if neighboring states allow it. And you just mentioned that Pennsylvania, West Virginia are seriously considering it, and Indiana and Kentucky may not be far behind. Are you just trying to avoid letting that go into effect so those four casinos don't corner the market on sports betting?
Well, actually, since I wrote the amendment, it doesn't have that full codicil. It's very ambiguous. And what really needs, we believe, to be done is to change the entire amendment, allowing not only sports betting, but allowing slot machines and sort of like a racino in local sports bars. I think it should be blown apart. It's a monopolistic constitutional amendment. And what we're taking a look at is to also, along with sports betting, is allow all the facilities through the state, not just in the major metropolitan areas where the racinos and casinos are, but all throughout the state, in Steubenville, in Marietta, in Lima, all throughout the state, and allow them to all have some sort of slot machine, with the sports betting.
Do you think Ohioans are going to go for that? I mean, that would make gambling ubiquitous around the state. Just as ubiquitous as your scratch tickets behind every gas station counter and convenience store and grocery store counter. Is that a tough sell to Ohio voters? Lawmakers certainly aren't going to go for that, but are voters going to go for that?
From the polling I've seen, it absolutely has the support. Gambling is everywhere. I mean, we're not going to avoid it. It's here. We're not going to create more problem gamblers because if you want to gamble in Ohio, you can gamble in Ohio.
Are you sure you wouldn't create more problem gamblers? A lot of data suggests that when casinos move in, the amount of people going to Gamblers Anonymous meetings also increases. So it seems like ubiquitous gambling does increase problem gambling.
You know, we heard this argument throughout the years. That's going to bring more problem gamblers, prostitution, organized crime. It hasn't. The casinos in Columbus are doing great. The casinos in all throughout the state are helping every area it's been in. Problem gamblers, like people who have problems with alcohol or people who have problems with drugs, I mean, are going to exist. Setting up the proper social programs, which we did in the constitutional amendment, are the way, you know, to help people like that. You know, I it's just not my belief that, you know, we don't stop all gambling because some people have a problem.
Should there be, let's talk about some of the other specifics. How much should it be taxed?
Well, right now the tax is 33 1/3%. I think something in that area, which if our estimates of $3 billion in sports betting exist in Ohio, you're talking nearly $1 billion in revenues for the state. And I think the money should not be earmarked just for education. I mean, Governor DeWine indicated he talked with Karen Kassler that he thinks the money should go to help local sports programs and all that. I think the money should go back to local communities for services.
How about any other limits? Should we put limits on sports bets? Should we be prevented from betting our houses on the Browns?
No. I think that's a personal responsibility. I think there's limits to what you can bet. I don't think that that's up to the industry to really regulate that. It's up to the person. And you know, there are rules in the state that if someone does have a problem and they're listed as a problem gambler, they're not allowed in the facility. So, you know, they'll be probably part of the separate rules set up by the Gaming Commission would include that.
But that's where your proposal to have gambling everywhere, that would run into a problem if there's gambling or, you know, kiosks or whatever in bars and restaurants all over the state. You'd lose that control to keep problem gamblers away from their addiction, wouldn't you?
Well, you know, there's bars and there's the limits on bars are set up the same way throughout the state. I don't think we should hurt local businesses and hurt the state when other states are right now. There are no limits in Las Vegas. It's the same way. I mean, sports betting in Las Vegas has been part of that since the 1940s. So I don't think, you know, I think we should look socially at creating programs to help people who have problems, but I'm just, you know, it's not our belief that we need to regulate every person.
Rick Lertzman is a Cleveland area businessman. He's also backing a 2019 ballot measure to legalize sports gambling in Ohio. Rick Lertzman, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Wow, he's not talking about just sports betting. Mm-hmm. He's basically saying we should scrap the 2009 gambling amendment and start over and have gambling everywhere. That's a huge lift.
I think Keno is the best analogy. If you go into Roosters, if you go into just about any bar around here, they're going to have a Keno kiosk, and you basically put a few bucks in and you take a ticket and you fill out a little spreadsheet. Look, I don't know exactly how Keno works, but it's very automated. It's everywhere.
He wants slot machines everywhere. He wants poker tables everywhere. I mean, that's not going to happen in
the
statehouse.
That is not what was approved by voters in 2009. They approved four casinos. He, as he said, he wrote the amendment. He was involved in crafting the 2009 amendment. And it's very much goes against the entire spirit of that amendment, which legalized very controlled, centralized gambling.
Yeah, I don't see this happening. I really don't. I think lawmakers will never go for this. And more importantly, the two companies that own those four casinos, Penn National and Dan Gilbert's company, they are not going to want to give up the basic monopoly that they have on casino gambling in Ohio and have it go everywhere. So if it does get to the ballot, there is going to be a very expensive campaign against it.
Good news for the news industry. Bad news for people who might not want to see TV ads every few seconds leading up to the election.
Good news for the political consultant and ad-making people in this state.
It seems about just about every time there's a controversial ballot issue, it becomes the most expensive in Ohio history. But you think this would just see money pour in from Penn National and Dan Gilbert's company?
This never gets to the ballot. I'll make a bet right now, and I will give you big odds that this never gets to the ballot because the legislature has learned its lesson, and we have seen it over and over again. They let gambling go to the ballot and win, and they lost control with the four casino deal. They saw that, and if you notice, since then, the redistricting things were settled in the legislature before it went to the ballot. We're going to see that over and over again. Lawmakers are not going to give up control because of the threat of a well-financed ballot initiative that could take control away from them.
But do Ohioans like gambling? Would it be hard to convince them? I know that Penn National and the companies like them have tens of millions of dollars potentially to spend on this. Do they have a story to tell? I mean, it seems like Ohioans like gambling.
But that's why it'll pass fairly easily. I think lawmakers, the ship has sailed.
Lawmakers
is here.
It never makes it to the ballot.
I mean, how many people do you know play daily fantasy baseball and football? I mean, gambling is everywhere. So I think the body politic, the general public is going to say, look, if Pennsylvania is doing it, West Virginia is doing it, Indiana is doing it, and we're losing this tax money, even if we only get, you know, tens of millions of dollars out of it, it's tens of millions of dollars we're not going to get if we don't legalize sports gambling.
Let's turn now to the fight to be the next Speaker of the Ohio House.
The GOP caucus in the House thought they were going to name the next Speaker. They scheduled a vote for Monday, and then they came out with nothing.
Yeah, no candidates got the necessary number of votes to win the job through the end of this year. Here's Speaker Pro Tem or Interim Speaker Kirk Schuring.
And that's where we're at right now. We're real close to the 50, but we're not there yet. But we're close enough that I think we can get there. And again, I just need to sit down with others and figure out what that pathway might be.
So, Mike, they're looking for a large consensus in the GOP House caucus. They had somewhat of a consensus, not quite enough. And again, this is only to fill the job through the end of this year.
Yeah, Jim Siegel from the Columbus Dispatch reported that they needed 50 votes and they came up 3 votes short. So to name the speaker, Ryan Smith came up 3 votes short. So he says that he is confident he can get those votes before the next time that the House is scheduled to be in session, which is May 23rd. It comes down to, do the Republicans in the House right now want to pick as their speaker the man, one of two contenders for the speakership in 2019, for the next session after the next election? Ryan Smith wants to be speaker. His competitor is Larry Householder, who is not running against him right now. So do Republican lawmakers want to sort of give Ryan Smith a slight advantage by naming him speaker now? He would run as speaker, run for speaker as an incumbent. Or do they want to find an interim speaker to get him through the rest of 2018 and then start fresh with a two-person fight, presumably, in 2019.
Well, context matters a lot here. Ryan Smith, as you say, is by far the biggest vote getter in the caucus vote on Monday. But he got his clock cleaned by Larry Householder in the primary election. Most of the candidates that Smith backed lost to Householder-backed candidates in the primary. So it seems like voters, at least by and large, want that the Householder agenda more than the Ryan Smith agenda. So what might happen, you think, or maybe maybe won't happen, I don't know, but they elect Dorothy Palanda or someone like that for the time being, less of a competition against Householder, and it creates more of a consensus in 2019.
And the other thing is Ryan Smith is very closely aligned with Cliff Rosenberger, who had to resign amidst this FBI inquiry. People say we need a fresh start. We don't want somebody who is aligned with the speaker who had to resign because of an FBI probe, whatever that may turn up. We should start fresh. So that's another subtext here. So, and you know, it's really not a huge deal in 2018. They're almost done. The payday lending bill is still out there. That's the probably biggest piece of
legislation. That was delayed by the vote.
Yeah, that's the biggest piece of legislation out there. There's, you know, 15 or 16 other bills out there. The speaker controls which bills get to the floor and get voted on. So this person will have a lot of power between now and the end of 2018. So between now and Election Day, not much happens, though. Lawmakers tend not to vote on controversial or consequential things between now and Election Day. But don't forget, there's that lame duck session after Election Day where a lot of stuff does happen, and the speaker will have a lot of influence over what happens during that session.
And this failed Monday vote, also good news for Democrats. They get to keep this in the news. They get to keep talking about Cliff Rosenberger, this, quote, culture of corruption in the State House.
They're going to keep talking about that daily until Election Day. Mark my words. I'll give you good odds on that as well.
Enough now about Cliff Rosenberger's travel. Let's see where our governor has been.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Rockville, isn't this close to Bethesda?
We went to Tulsa instead of...
This is our weekly segment, John Kasich GPS. We track the governor's travels around the country and around the Sunday morning talk shows. Kasich was actually in the State House this week, and he unveiled his new office for new Americans. It's meant to help legal immigrants by lining them up with jobs and social services.
Kasich also talked about his reluctance to immediately endorse Mike DeWine for governor, but it was his visit to Michigan that got him in a little bit of hot water, or maybe cool water, cool polluted water.
Yeah, Kasich spoke to the Michigan Press Association at their annual convention and was talking about the water in Lake Erie. He was quoted as saying the lake was not impaired, which caught the attention of a lot of environmentalists who said, what?
Kasich this week clarified his comment, saying not all of Lake Erie is impaired, just parts of it.
There are parts that we've declared impaired in the western basin, but in the middle of the lake, we don't think so. And I'm not going to go around and say that all of Lake Erie is impaired.
Mike, can we somehow connect this Lake Erie pollution to the play of the Browns?
I think that's part of... I would say that both Lake Erie and the Cleveland Browns are at least partially impaired.
The Browns are very impaired. I can, as someone who's watched every Browns game for the last decade, I can attest to that. And that will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is, again, named after a term for a ruthless politician.
Be sure to give us a good review. Tell your friends about us. An OSU student said that our podcast was fire. That's good, right?
That is good.
That's good. So, if we're fire, if we're dope, if we're woke,
if we're lit,
spread the word. Until next week, I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown. This is Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.